same force, demonic force, that has opposed other good men and other good churches, has come up against you and has resisted you. But in the last few services, in the last few prayer meetings, you have felt authority. And God wants to let you know that to counter the demonic force that has oppressed and has come against churches in this city before is a present Holy Ghost authority. There is a Holy Ghost authority that God is giving His people in this season that you're about to enter. And you, now this is the kick. This is the kicker. You are going to have to make a determination individually, collectively, corporately, whether or not you're going to fall prey to the same spirits, the same carnality that has killed other people, that has overthrown other works in this city, or you're going to make up your mind that for myself and for my family, I will take the authority that I feel in the place tonight, that I'll take the mantle that I understand that God has placed in my hand, and I'm going to the gates of hell, and I'm going to let hell know you may have resisted other men. They may in their weakness have fallen short of what God desires prophetically for this city. But I'm taking the authority. I'm taking the mantle. And I'm going and I'm pushing through. I'm pushing through the norm. I'm pushing through the preconceived paradigms. I'm pushing through what's been normal and acceptable up to this point. Brother Corey, the things that God has laid on your heart years ago, the things that God impressed upon you, the decisions that you made over 20 years ago, tonight there is authority to overcome every obstacle. And not only overcome obstacles in order for us to be saved, but to overcome obstacles in order for this church to go straight into orbit spiritually. To go into orbit and see the wonders of God in the face of the deep. To go into orbit and take this city for God. There are mantles that God has laid upon hearts and lives. There are prophecies that have gone forth over this people. But I'm telling you, in the Holy Ghost, there are some people in this season that are about to walk in authority that you have never walked in before. There are people, there are ministries in this season for this church that are going to just go straight into orbit because of the time and because of the consecration and because of the calling and because God has opened a door before you, a great and effectual door. I'm going to deal with something. We're going to baptize somebody in a minute, but I want to deal with something that God laid upon my heart. I got a phone call Saturday night, and God has kept me up. He has pressed upon me harder than I have ever felt. And I'm going to do my best to deliver what He's spoken to me. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4 first. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 23 through 27. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Back to verse 23. One translation says, guard thy heart. Guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And Matthew chapter 26, verses 6 through 16. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? Another translation tells us that this disciple is John, is Judas. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest. Straight from this moment, straight from this rebuke, and said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. Turn back in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 23, chapter 4 and verse 23. And the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let's pray. Mighty God, we worship you. Everybody pray. Lift up your voice to heaven tonight. We magnify your name, Jesus. God, we need your spirit here tonight, God. We can't do this without you, oh God, but with you we can do all things, God. Speak to our hearts tonight, oh God. Let your perfect will be done in this place, oh God. Come on, worship him for just a moment. Give God some praise. We need your presence, God. We need your presence. Sweep over this house, oh God. Sweep over this house, oh God. Go ahead and give God some praise for this one that's about to go down in the water tonight. We bless your name, God. The angels are rejoicing in heaven. Hallelujah. Hosanna. We worship you. We glorify your name, God. There's nobody like you, Jesus. There's none holy but you, God. There's none righteous but you, Jesus. On a spring evening in April of 1865, the President of the United States of America attended a small theater in Washington, D.C. with his wife and several friends. They were in attendance for a musical drama called Our Musical Cousin. One guard was assigned to the presidential detail that evening. At the intermission, his guard decided to exit the theater and go across the street for a drink at a local tavern. That decision led to one of the greatest tragedies in American history. A man by the name of John Wilkes Booth saw an opportunity to enter the viewing booth where Mr. Lincoln and his party were seated, watching the performance. He approached quietly behind the president, fired off a round, and quickly fled the scene. Only a moment of unguarded access, but the president of the United States of America was dead. Somehow, the sobriety of the moment, the sobering quality of the task at hand, didn't get through to this poor soldier. Somehow, the sobering quality of guarding the most important man in the free world never got through to this neglectful soldier. The moment was so vital in hindsight. The moment was so important upon reflection. But he trivialized his moment to do what destiny had called him to do, to guard the president of the United States of America. The historical significance is now breathtaking. What one moment of indecision, what one moment of unguarded access could mean, it is amazing. It is mind-boggling to consider. One moment, unguarded. One moment, a trained soldier who had all of the equipment necessary and all of the skills necessary and all of the preparation that was required to do the task at hand. One moment. You absolutely cannot leave your post. But he did. Solomon in the Proverbs admonishes us to guard our heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Let your eyes look right on, he says further, and your eyelids look straight before you. He's telling you to put blinders on to all of the external circumstances. He's telling you to tune out the wind and the storm. He's telling you, you've got to understand. You've got to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of your heart flows the issues of life. It's pressing, it's important, it's immediate, but it's so interesting to me. I find so often that people get distracted. I've been living for God for 28 years. I've been around the church. I'll be 28 years old this year. But I've had the Holy Ghost since I was 7. And I find it so interesting that so often people get distracted. And it's so interesting to me that quite often it is when you think you stand that you don't stand. Paul admonishes the church. He said, be careful when you think that you stand. Be careful when you think you have it all together. And I've seen people fall, and it breaks my heart and it just crushes my spirit. But it is so imperative to keep your guard up high. It is so imperative in the day that we live in to guard your heart, because in your heart is going to be the place where the battle is won. It is in your heart where the issues of life are determined. Guard your heart with all diligence. He said, turn not to the right or to the left. The Holy Ghost has sent me to tell you that this is not a day to become distracted. There are spirits moving rampantly throughout our world because they understand the time. Even if some of the apostolic movement doesn't understand the time, even if they don't understand necessarily the significance of the moment, the fact that God is coming back and it's imminent and it's pressing upon us, but you've got to stand up and you've got to make a decision. I'm going to guard my mind. I'm going to guard my heart. I'm gonna guard my family. I'm gonna guard my young people. I'm gonna guard my church. The internet has everybody connected. Everybody's connected now. MySpace. What are some of the other sites? Facebook. Is everybody connected a website? Everybody's apostolic. How many of you know everybody's not apostolic? Everybody's not apostolic. Even on everybody's apostolic. It is so pressing on my spirit. And I know that you've heard it before. And I know that prophets have stood in this pulpit before. But I want to tell you, tonight, somebody's going to go home and log on to Everybody's Connected or MySpace or Facebook. And the spirit of Jezebel. Spirit of Jezebel is going to creep in to that room. And you're going to be unaware. You're not even going to understand that the spirit of Jezebel came into the room with you. Because in a moment of indiscretion, or in a moment of weakness, or in a moment of turmoil, or in a moment where your mind's not right, that spirit will creep into the room with you, and you will, the cloud of confusion will descend upon your life. And the next thing you know, you're several weeks away from the moment and from the decision, and the cloud lifts and the fog goes away, and you're looking around and you're saying, I was over there and I was doing well and I was being obedient and I was paying my tithes and I was doing everything I knew to do. And I got a couple of weeks removed from that, and the cloud lifted, and oh my God. Oh my God. And I know people, I know precious families. She started getting on Facebook, reconnecting with old friends, and she decided, there's a whole lot in the world I'm missing out on. There's a whole lot in the world I didn't know existed. There are a whole lot of friends that I used to have that I'd forgotten about. And they started pulling on her. And they started tugging on her spirit. And consequences behind her, not thinking or considering, she lost some precious things. But she didn't lose them in the moment that she decided to walk away from her commitment. She lost them in a moment when her heart was unguarded. In a moment of indiscretion. She lost everything that was precious to her. You got to guard your heart. You've got to guard your heart. You got to set up with a flaming sword. It's not necessarily just about what is or what isn't sin. I'm so tired of having that discussion. In the day that I am sick and tired of having to tell people what is or isn't sin. Could you imagine pastoring in 2010 when there's so much? Technology is going at the speed of light. And our young people are finding out about stuff before we have time to ingest it, to analyze it, and to preach it. This world has lost its ever-loving mind. You have people that are losing their jobs over pornography. You have people that are losing their homes and their families and fortunes. For a moment, unguarded. What better man to preach this message to us than Solomon, who had it all? He had it all. He had the riches, he had the esteem, he had the wisdom, he had the knowledge, he had the houses, he had the camels, he had everything you could want. The book of Ecclesiastes is a litany of everything he tried. He said, I planted vineyards. I had the best vineyards you could imagine. He said, I had houses. Beautiful houses. He said, I had wisdom. They came from miles away to hear him. But in moments where he lost focus, and in moments where his heart went unguarded, God gave him a petition. He said, Solomon. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. He said, Solomon, if I cause it not to rain and I cause the heaven to be shut up. He said, if I cause there to be a drought upon the land. What he's telling Solomon is, Solomon, if you go through stuff, if you have hard times, if you go through a situation that you don't understand. In verse 14, he said, if my people who are called by my name. name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins and I'll heal their land. And Solomon didn't need that message then. He had just erected the temple. He had it all going for him. His life was just peachy keen. He didn't need the consecration message. He didn't need the message that talked about repentance and talked about turning his heart around. He didn't need that message because everything was going well. But there came a time in Solomon's life when that taloned, creeping fowl of the adversary sunk into his heart. And then he needed it. Because I've watched people in moments like that. When the cloud comes down and the fog descends and they're searching. Have you ever seen anybody walk into the back doors of the church after having not been here for so long? And I can see it and it breaks my heart. And I want to tell them a little more to the right. A little more to the right, there's safety. A little more to the left. A little more to the left, there's salvation. But that's not the time to get it right. It's in the moment of the indiscretion. It's in the moment where you're supposed to be on the post. It's in the moment. It's in the moment where the Spirit comes into the room. Let me tell you something. I believe prophetically for this church that the next phase of revival that we go through is going to be from consecration. It's going to be from men and women who say, you know what? I can't give you chapter and verse, but I believe in the Holy Ghost tonight. God sent me here to tell you everything that connects you with carnality, cut it off. Every account that you have, every single account that you have with your name and your password on it, that you know you've encountered people who are asking you questions about whether or not we have to do this and whether or not the apostolic message is the only way or about... I'm telling you, everything that connects you, everything that attaches you to people who walked away from the truth, it's amazing to me. That crowd flocks together. That crowd flocks together. They go to the same parties. They go to the same baby showers. They do. They hang out. They go out to eat together. It amazes me. And I watch some people in the church even that are on the periphery. They feel the need to have one arm reaching back towards those people and another arm trying to reach into the church. And I'm here to plead with you before this service is over tonight. Make a decision. I'm telling you, please, in the Holy Ghost, do it. Because you see, this is the key. It's not just about you. It's not about you. That's what we always feel when we're in the... Because I've been in the crucible before. I've made some decisions that were stupid. But in that moment, you're not thinking about the fallout. You're thinking about me and now and here. And how I can escape this pressure. It's not about you. Because you see, what Solomon lost was the next generation's power. What Solomon lost was the next generation's greatness. What he failed to do that David did was hand the next generation a full platter. Here's the money. Here's the power. Here's the anointing. Here's the consecration. Here's the holiness. Here's the relationship with God. He handed Solomon everything that Solomon needed to take the kingdom of God to the next level. It's not about you. It's about the kingdom of God going forth. And the kingdom, and it's about the next generation. It's one king said this. The prophet came to him and said, man, you've been a fool. You're about to lose a bunch of stuff. It's about to get ugly and crazy. And you know what he said? His response was, well, Mr. Prophet Man, when's it going to happen? oh, it's going to happen years down the road after you're gone. He said, oh, okay. Well, that's all right. It sounds kind of like politics, doesn't it? I don't know. I don't know why I went there. It sounds kind of like the political system, though. They're going to leave a bunch of stuff for us to have to deal with. But the responsibility of the now and the immediate is upon us. Because we have to make a decision. I'm already making a decision, and we still have our leadership with us. But I'm making a decision for my life. Listen, I don't care if I ever have power in the pulpit. Now watch this. Watch this. I do not care if this desk is ever a place of power for me. Or if anybody walks away saying, you did a great job. I don't care. If God chooses to do that and open that door, great. I don't care if I ever have a lot of money. It would be nice. That's not my agenda. I don't care if we ever really have a big house. That's not my heart. My heartbeat is that I maintain. I pray all the time, God, use me greatly, but don't use me beyond the level to which I can stay balanced, beyond the level by which I can maintain my integrity. You can have the power. You can have the anointing if you want it, because that same anointing that where you have power is that same anointing that'll go straight to your head. So God, I'd rather be safe, because I have a 3-year-old baby back there that is my heart, my joy, my life, my passion. I have a wife. I want to see her in heaven. I don't want anything that throws my life out of kilter. Take the whole world. Take the money. Take the prestige. Take the fame. Take the popularity. Take the opinion of men. Take the whole world. But give me Jesus. I want Jesus. I want him high and lifted up. I want him in all his glory. I want him in all his splendor. Everybody's connected. That's what they say anyway. I'm out of the loop. I am out of the loop. And I am loving it. Loving it, loving it, loving it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Good apostolic kids and loyal husbands are being introduced to spirits of backslidden, carnal, wayward Jezebels on Facebook right now. Right now. Good apostolic husbands, loyal and faithful apostolic husbands, and young people in apostolic churches are being introduced to spirits of Jezebel right now. Right now. It's happening. I'll just give you a moment to let that sink in. Because I told God I'd do what he told me to do. And I don't want that, oh, yes. Yeah, no. I want it to sink in. I want you to understand exactly what's happening in the spirit. That's what's happening. Unguarded moments. You got a good husband. If I were you, I'd go home and disconnect it. Cut it off. Because he's a good guy. And there are spirits that seek his demise. There are predatory spirits that want your young people so bad. And you know what? I love you, every one of you. And that's why I'm being obedient to the Holy Ghost tonight. It's not because I want to be a bully. It's not because I want to take away one more of your little privileges. But I'm telling you in the Holy Ghost, there are some here tonight, parents, they have cell phones with internet access. So there are opportunities that they have to be unchaperoned on the internet. Preacher told me that, I was shocked. Started thinking about it. I was like, man, the devil's slick. He does some crazy stuff. Just slithers right on in there. And parents are like, what? My kids have internet? I ain't know. They have it. And they have access. I'm just telling you, do with it whatever you want. In our text tonight, Judas watched as Mary poured oil over Jesus' head. And in an unguarded moment, he became jealous. With Jesus' reprimand, he allowed that jealousy to metastasize and become bitterness. And the poison that set in to his heart was fatal. Unguarded moment. And he set out from that moment, the Bible says, from that moment to betray the Christ. And you would most of you would say, I would never betray the Christ. What did Peter say?
I won't betray you.
And Peter was bad to the bone. But he was just as susceptible as Judas was. And you know what? He was just as susceptible as I am. Because I've got a stinking, fallen, ugly, carnal heart. Heart is deceitful above all things. And desperately wicked. And who can know it? What a deadly combination, a nasty, stinking human heart and a nasty, stinking carnal spirit. The combination is deadly, friend. You've got to guard your heart with all diligence. I have to never allow a moment of unguarded access. My natural mind is enmity with God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. My natural mind is at war with the things of the Spirit. I have to guard myself. I have to guard myself. Cell phones, iPods, game systems, computers have all become means by which spirits can attach themselves to unsuspecting children. You know, Xboxes. I was playing an Xbox at a friend's house. Friend. I'm just going to use the word friend so you don't know who it is. And they had online capability, and these guys could tell you a whole lot more about it. But I'm just trying to find my way back to the game so I can play it because I'm retarded like that. And I ended up in this movie section where you can – do any of you guys know that you can rent movies? Okay. You understand that. So we have some kids attesting. Now, hopefully I didn't get them in too much trouble. I just wanted to verify what I was saying was correct. My bad. I set you up. See, I knew you knew. But I stumbled onto this movie section. You can actually rent sexually explicit videos on a kid's game console. Give that a few seconds to sink in. Is this all right, Brother Corey? Is this all right? Am I doing? Huh? Is it all right? Okay. Good. We are in desperate need of a flaming sword at the door to our homes. We are in desperate need of young people. I don't want it. Do you hear me? I don't want it. I don't want what this world has to offer in any form, in any fashion. Take the whole world. Take it all. You can take all the fun and all the foolishness you want, but I want Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to be perfect, but let me tell you something. When I fall, y'all may all know about it, but you're going to see this little sawed-off Cajun kid getting back up and dusting off these bony knees and lifting my hands to the heavens and letting God know, I'm not perfect, but I want this. I want it with every fiber of my being. We can't live without this. We can't do it without him. God sent me here tonight to awaken any sleepers. We may have some people who are just sleeping. Just asleep. Asleep at the wheel. And you have no idea that the car is careening off out of control. Wake up. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. We need, like never before, for some good, hot, fresh conviction to rise up among us. We need like never before because it's getting really hot out there it's getting really intense. What our young people are dealing with from all the pervasive cultural pressure that's trying to get its talons down into their heart. And we need some parents who are willing to say, thus saith the word of God. Buy the truth and sell it not. I'm wondering if I have some parents in the house tonight that are just making up their mind as the Holy Ghost speaks tonight, that I'm going to set up some boundaries for my kids so that we can see this thing hotter and greater and more powerful in the next generation than it ever has been before. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and then your want will come upon you like an armed man. I don't want to be asleep. Every opportunity I get, I want God to wake me up. I want God to jerk my chain. Every time I start to drift off, I want God to jerk me. I want him to jerk me back in line. I want him to jerk me back in shape. And what he's telling me to do tonight, get somebody's attention. There's some people who need to know. Lindsay, you can go ahead and come. How many times has it happened? You've asked the question when somebody backslides. Where did it all go wrong? Has anybody ever asked that? I've asked that question time and time again. Where did it all go wrong? Because you see the moment when they make the decision. My marriage is over. My consecration to God is, I'm done. You see the moment when they verbalize it. But let me tell you what happens. For Saul, for Judas, for everyone who's ever walked away, for everyone who's ever fallen prey, it wasn't in the moment that you could see with your natural eyes. But it was a moment, David on a rooftop. David, what are you looking at? The Bible says it was the time when kings went to battle. It was the time to fight. And I believe David just got stuck in a situation. What was I thinking? When the cloud lifted and it was all said and done, I think David said, what in the world was I thinking? Has anybody ever felt that way before? What was I thinking? How in the world did I get here? It wasn't in the moment with Bathsheba. It wasn't in the moment with Uriah. It was back on a rooftop in an unguarded moment for his heart. He had probably let his hair down and, you know, was chilling in his undergarments and enjoying the roof, and just decided, I'm not going to battle. I was thinking robe, but I said undergarments. I didn't mean to give y'all any mental pain. That's great. Now, Dawson, I'm going to need you to regain composure for the wrap up. Quickly. You mind so well. Chilling on the roof in his robe. It was in the moment that his heart was unguarded, that the damage was done. Everything else that ensued, those are side effects of having an unguarded moment. The thing that most impresses me about David, though, was his ability to identify the problem. David is one of the best people in Scripture that ever gets over a hang-up. It's incredible. He went right to the heart of the problem. He committed sin with Bathsheba, penned the letter that killed Uriah. The prophet came to him and revealed his heart. You're that man, David. You're the man. You're the one. God revealed David to David, his heart. And David does an incredible thing, what Judas failed to do, what Saul failed to do. He got up after the baby died. He took a bath. He shaved his face. He ate. And he went to the house of God. And he prayed one of the most incredible prayers. A prayer that I hear ringing through every prayer meeting I attend. God, cleanse me from my iniquity. Wash me thoroughly, God, from my iniquity. And cleanse me from my sin. Create within me, God, a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. He said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. You know what he's saying? When I'm reeling and I can't find my way and my heart is overwhelmed within me, if I can get somebody to take me by the hand and show me where the rock is, when everything around is sinking sand, somebody lead me to the rock. Show me where the rock is. He said, when my heart condemns me, God is greater. When my mistakes have crushed me, when you have that moment when it's just you and you feel like nobody else is there and the tears are flowing and your gut is wrenching and you're saying, how did I end up here? How did I get so far from the commitment that I made to God? When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me, lead me, lead me. Somebody show me. Somebody give me a fixed place to stand, because I can't find it on my own. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. Somebody show me where the rock is. Somebody take my hand. And I wish I could come tonight and grab your hand. I wish I could come and show you the way. It's where it's always been. Backslider, listen to me. Listen to me carefully. This was a moment that God has chosen. God has come to show you the way back. It will not be easy. It will not be easy. It will not be easy. It won't be without some trials. It won't be without some pain. It won't be without some difficulty. But hear me, when my heart is overwhelmed, somebody lead me. Somebody show me the way. Show me the way home. Come on, prodigal. The Father is here. He has come tonight to lead you home. And listen to me. It's not a servant's outfit that he has waiting on you, but it's the garment of a son. It's the garment of a son. God loves you. He loves you. Come home. Make your way back to the rock. Take me to that place, God. Take me back to the place, God, where I found you. Take me to the place, God, that I remember from my youth. Don't let this moment pass you. Don't let this moment pass you. Somebody be sensitive to the Holy Ghost, because there's somebody in the house that's waiting to see the way. They're just waiting for you to take their hand and to show them. It's where it's always been. Consecration is where it's always been. Commitment is where it's always been. It's in His presence. It's in His presence. He's here tonight. He's here tonight. He's here, God. Oh, somebody needs to make a new commitment tonight. I'm telling you, there's a dad in the house who needs to make a commitment for your family. We're not going that way, baby. We're going to see God high and lifted up. We're going to see His wonders. We're going to see the splendor of the kingdom. If you need to, find your family. Find your kids. Let them know this is where we're going. The pastor preached it Wednesday night. Nobody's taking my crown. You can't have it. You can't have my crown. You alone are great, Jesus. Mighty is your name. There's nobody like you, God. Take the whole world, but give me Jesus. I want Him. I want Jesus. I want God high and lifted up. I want His presence in my life. I want truth in my life. I want His splendor. I want His majesty. I want His love. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
You alone are great.
You alone are great, Jesus. There's nobody like You, nobody like You, nobody like You, Jesus. Oh, church, we need everybody praying. We need everybody pressing in this place tonight. Come on, just press your way into His presence. Make some commitments. Tell God where we're going. God, we're on board with whatever You have. Whatever You have for this generation, God. We're willing, God. We're willing, oh God.
Mighty is Your name. Your name alone. You alone are great. You alone are great. Mighty is Your name in all the earth. Oh, You alone are great. You alone are great. Mighty is Your name. Mighty is Your name. Mighty is Your name. Your name.
Feel the spirit of intercession in this place. Go ahead and break your vessel open. Come on. There's some people who are in the balance tonight. The Holy Ghost is here. God is here to set somebody free. Come on, cry out, church. You're birthing some things tonight. Go ahead and cry out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Your name.
I had an interesting experience last night at prayer, and I just feel impressed in the Holy Ghost to tell you. I've never had anything like this happen, but I went into a trance for about 15 or 20 minutes. And I could hear voices. I could hear voices. God, the Holy Ghost kept telling me they're crying out from the grave. They're crying out from the grave. And there were voices of children whose leaders, whose prophets, and whose preachers, and whose priest had failed to hold up the standard. God was dealing with me about this message all week, but when that happened, I just held my stomach. I wanted to just moan. Words felt cheap, but I could hear their voices, and I couldn't escape it. It was like God was making me listen. You've got to hear this. You've got to hear what it sounds like when a village has been pillaged and has been taken over because a priest failed to hold up the standard and has caused a breach in the wall. I want you to hear it. I want you to hear the cry of a wife whose husband walked away. I said, God, I can't take this. I didn't want to hear it. I like the supernatural and everything, but that's just a little too much. The pressure of it and just the incredible agony. Nehemiah, when he's rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, he's picking up the stones that had fallen from the wall. And he's got a sword in one hand, and he's got a trowel in the other. And he's mixing mortar, and he's setting stones. And Tobiah and Sanballat come, and they say, "Hey, man of God, come off the wall." He said, "I can't. We mean you no harm. Let's just talk." But you know what Tobiah and Sanballat were? They were backslidden preacher's kids. And they wanted to kill him because they didn't like the fact that he was holding up a standard. And he's doing everything he can to be caught in between. I see men in this church. I've watched you. I've seen young men. You've got to trial that represents the natural craft that God's given you, and you've got a sword in the other, and you're praying, you're saying, "God, how do I bring these two worlds together? I don't want to come off the wall. I don't want to come off the wall." But there's so much pressure. There's so much pervasive cultural influence that's telling me. And then now we have an emerging church. We have backslidden preachers' kids that are telling us, "You don't have to live holy and you don't have to do all of that." And we have people that are walking away from the faith, and you're holding the sword and you're holding the trowel. But it amazed me when I was studying what Nehemiah said. He said, "I can't come down off the wall." He said, "I'm rebuilding the wall that there be no breach in the wall." Nehemiah wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about little Jewish kids that were going to walk the streets of that city and predators that could have made their way in. He was thinking about his posterity. He was thinking about his kids, and he was saying, I refuse, because there is an enemy. I know, maybe not today. You might convince somebody else to compromise. You might convince somebody else to put down the sword and reason together with you. You might convince somebody else, but I understand that there be no breach for the next generation. Got to hold up the standard. So for every little Jewish baby that their blood filled the streets of Jerusalem when they were besieged by Rome, for every little baby that was raped and pillaged because a priest wouldn't hold up the standard, a I want to tell the spirits of this city something. We're going to hold it up. We're just going to hold the natural world, the trowel that represents my job and my natural world and my finances, and the sword that represents the word of God. We're going to hold it up. We're going to hold it up. You listen, baby. I know your blood spilled the streets. I know that your cry is still reaching up saying, Daddy, why didn't you hold up the standard? Why didn't you put your desire and your natural appetites and your carnality on the side? Was I not worth it? Was my little life not worth it? Yes. Yes, baby. It's worth it. It's worth it. We're not backing down. We're not stepping back. We're going to see this thing through. We're going to finish with the apostles started. We're going to finish when all of the prophets started. We're going to hold up the standard. Let's just lift up God. Let's lift up the presence of God in us. Let's lift him up. If that's your cry tonight, if that's your heartbeat, we're not coming down off the wall. We're not backing up. I don't care what it takes. I don't care what it takes. I don't care what the world has to say. You're worth it. You hear me, next generation. You're worth it. You're worth it. You're worth all the blood and sweat and toil. You're worth the persecution. You're worth the pressure. You're worth the pain. You're worth the pressure of being in between two worlds. You're worth it. Bless you. Stay and pray if you like. I'm so thankful for men and women of God who made up the hedge for me. I'm so thankful for Sunday school teachers that did their part, even when it was tough. I'm glad to be a part of this church. I really am. I'm so excited about the prospect. God's going to do in the future with this next generation. And I am thrilled to be a part of the kingdom of God with you. Greet somebody, love on somebody, tell somebody how happy you are to be in the kingdom with them. God bless you.